Earlier this year, I got a call from Dustin Steve. He asked me if I wanted to speak at God Blog Con, and once again, I said, of course I would. And he said, there's just one problem. He said, you're like the Bono of God bloggers. And I said, yes, that's right. And he said, because of this, he was a little concerned that my presentation would outshine the other speakers. And I said, yes, that'd definitely be a concern. And Dustin said that he had some suggestions for how to keep from outshining the other God blog speakers. He'd give me my talk a boring title. Like something like identifying impact points in culture. And instead of kicking over the mic stand and jumping off amps, I'd stand behind the podium and read off my notes on a laptop, as I'm doing now. He also suggested that I speak rapidly in a monotone voice, use PowerPoint that won't ever work, and use bullet points. And I said I agreed to all this, except the bullet points. No bullet points. I'm not willing to dumb it down that much. But fortunately, even with those limitations, I still have a few techniques I learned in a secret organization of orators that I serve in. And one of the tricks they taught me is what's called the attention getter, usually a joke or a humorous anecdote to connect with the audience. But because I'm a bit more highbrow than that, I decided to use one of my favorite poems. It's a poem by Donald Rumsfeld, former Secretary of Defense. It's a profound and beautiful poem that fits nicely with the topic today, and it goes something like this. As we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know. I think this provides a pretty good framework for our discussion today. There are the known knowns, such as what culture is. There are the known unknowns, such as the impact points and how we approach them. And then there are the unknown unknowns, such as the direction the new media is going and what effect it will have on culture. So it starts with the known knowns. One of the things we know is what culture is and how we can think about it from a biblical perspective. Most of this will already be familiar to you, but this will be a very brief overview of the theology of culture. In the first days of mankind, God did two things. He blessed mankind, and he puts them to work. In her book, Total Truth, Nancy Piercy refers to our work as the cultural mandate. In Genesis, God gives us what we might call our first job description. Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Piercy says the first phrase, be fruitful and multiply, means that to develop the social world, build families, churches, schools, cities, governments, laws. And the second phrase, subdue the earth, means to harness the natural world, to plant crops, to build bridges, design computers, and compose music. This passage is sometimes called a cultural mandate because it tells us that our original purpose was to create cultures, build civilizations, and nothing less. Now, crops, bridges, computers, and music are all examples of cultural artifacts. Artifacts are any man-made thing that are created from artifice, which is human skill. Artifacts include everything from stone arrowheads to skyscrapers to symphonies, and of course also includes artifacts of the new media, such as blogs, podcasts, and vlogs. Culture, in a sense, is a collection of various artifacts within a particular grouping of peoples. In his wonderful book, Plowing at Hope, David Bruce Hageman observes that culture is the concretization, the rendering in some permanent form of mankind's culturative acts, commonly manifested in man-made objects, structures, texts, etc. Such artifacts stand apart from, but ideally work with, in harmony with God's natural creation or nature. For our purposes, we'll only be focusing on artifacts associated with the new media, such as blogs, podcasts, social networks, YouTube, videos, Facebook. Each of these has various new media artifacts or mediums through which our messages are carried. Which brings us now to the known unknowns. The things we know we do not know about the new media. And to see what I mean, let's use three framing questions here. What types of messages should Christian media carry? How should these artifacts be developed? Where should they be delivered? And the first question, what types of messages should Christian media carry? I believe that our guide on this should be Philippians 4:8. Rather than providing a list of topics that are acceptable that bloggers should and should not write about, I think it provides us with the better areas of focus, such as whatever is true. As they talked about it this morning, John Mark was talking about the true, the good, and the beautiful. We should write about whatever is true. We should write about whatever is noble. We should write about whatever is right. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy are things that we should be blogging about and video casting about and podcasting about. These are topics that we choose to should fit comfortably within this framework. Our second framing question is, how should these artifacts be developed? On this, I suggest taking a cue from the late Francis Schaeffer, who Dr. Muller talked about this morning, the missionary of the intellectuals. He provided guidance for artists in his book, Art in the Bible. And Schaeffer provided four standards of judgment for the Christian artists that I think are relevant to new media. The first is technical excellence. In all our work, we should be striving to implement the highest technical excellence that we can achieve. And this requires not only that we consistently hold ourselves to a standard of excellence, as John Mark mentioned this morning, but that we continually work on improving the skill sets that are related to our chosen medium. For example, bloggers should work on improving their writing. And for you youngsters out here, this is what's called a diagram in a sentence. And I know you don't know anything about this. This is like old school stuff here. Because back in the day, we used to know how to take a sentence apart. So the second is validity. Validity requires that we are honest to ourselves and to our worldview. We shouldn't change or modify our content just to be accepted by the broader culture. Our work should reflect our worldview and must be consistently, ultimately in terms of Scripture. The fourth is integration of content and vehicle. The form of new media we choose will have an effect on how and what messages can be communicated. We must be deliberate in matching the content to the proper vehicle. Not all messages can be adequately conveyed in all mediums. The third framing question is, what types of message should Christian media carry? Here, I believe we can classify our artifacts into three broad impact points. Folk culture, which is artifacts created by a group that shares common ties, such as ethnicity, geography, or religion. Some examples are fairy tales or Christian blogs that write on religion or theology. Christian bloggers are adding artifacts to folk culture when we debate about theology, discuss concerns about our denominations, or even share experiences about what it's like growing up as a child as Korean-born parents. What we do, if we talk about ethnicity or denominations or any of these other areas, as Christians, falls under folk culture. The second is pop culture, which we're more familiar with. Pop culture are artifacts which attempt to appeal to a broad range of groups in a pluralistic society. For example, romance novels. We engage popular culture when we discuss political opinions, critique movies or music, or explore questions of bioethics that have to do with all the culture at large. The next is Hoyt culture. See, I'm from Texas. I can't pronounce these fancy words there. Artifacts which are expressively rich and intentionally created be elevated, whether aesthetically or intellectually, above common human works. Such examples, fine literature, such as, prose remembrance of things past. Unfortunately, it's difficult to provide examples of Hoyt culture since it is all but non-existent in the blogosphere. However, as the media matures, we should expect to find Christians producing new media artifacts that are worthy of being passed on to succeeding generations. And while all artifacts can be classified in one of these three categories, the lines of demarcation are often very fluid. For example, Homer's story of the journey of Ulysses originated as a folk story with the Greeks, but is crossed over into pop culture and also into Hoyt culture. Likewise, the Bible spans all categories simultaneously. As individuals, we may not be called to address each specific impact point, but collectively we should be covering all the bases. You may not be called to write about folk culture or even pop culture, but somebody within our group, somebody within the God blogosphere should be covering these areas. Our message, like our worldview, is universal. And finally, we come to the unknown unknowns. These are things that about the new media that we know we don't know. And it's hard to put a finger on what we don't know since, of course, we don't know it yet. But we should be open in direction in this, the way this medium goes in. For example, like Rhett was talking this morning about Facebook. I know a lot of people are probably not, the MySpace experience has probably put them off from that. But we should be more open to use the mediums to our advantage. And in fact, Christians should be taking the lead in creating the forms, the styles, the paradigms, and the technologies that shape new media artifacts and thus our culture. We need to be bold creators of culture, for we serve a bold creator. Jesus' lordship extends through every area and aspect of life, including the creation of new media artifacts. As a theologian and former Dutch Prime Minister Abraham Kuyper once claimed, no single piece of our mental world is to be sealed off from the rest, and there's not a square inch in the whole domain of human existence of which God, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. Let us commit today to be a remnant of Christians who are not content to be merely critics of culture, but rather to be cultural creators, creating new media artifacts for the glory of our Creator and Redeemer. Thank you. to kick over the mic stand and jump in the crowd. All right, I'll turn it over to Dustin instead.
Okay, well, that concludes the first day for us. GodBlogCon will continue in part. We're having a panel at 3:20, which is in 12 minutes. Joe is true to his word. Hugh Hewitt started broadcasting precisely 2.5 minutes ago. So if you would like to go check that out, he is in the exhibitor hall. Just head straight down this corridor, make a left, follow that all the way to the end, and then make another left. You can't miss him. He's front and center. Enjoy the show. We'll see you tomorrow morning, first thing at, I believe, 10 a.m.